Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of my basement here on Long Island in New York, it is a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We welcome you in, whether you're listening to us across one of your great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206, or the radio.com application, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. That's the number that gets you on in. And you can always give me a follow, shoot me a tweet via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B on our network's account, at CBS Sports Radio. Got Stuart Kovacs back in our New York City headquarters. Mikey B and also Tom DiBenedetto producing this extravaganza somewhere on location. Jason Jackson is going to stop by at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, as we're here for the next 4 hours, and we're all coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So we start this Monday show off in something really that we haven't had in a long time, and those are live sporting events, not just in one sport, but across many sports. We've seen baseball come back, and they've had some problems in the restart. We had a very exciting weekend debut of hockey, even though I wish my Rangers would have played better. They made me have a miserable Saturday and then a miserable start to my Monday today. And actually, oh boy, Saturday was quite the adventure for yours truly. I golfed in the morning. I want to say our tee time was, what, 9:20 a.m. Eastern? Yeah, that sounds about right, 9:20 when I go back and remember and recall everything that was going on. So Saturday morning, I'm up early, 9:20 tee time. We're only playing 9. I would not have been foolish to think I could have got 18 in if we started at 9:20 and then get to watch the Rangers at noon Eastern. But at 9:20, we get off the golf course after playing 9. I was up and down, played all right. But we get off the golf course at about 11:40, and I was rushing to my friend's house who has a pool, who has an outdoor TV setup. And I was very much looking forward to sitting in the pool on some float and watching the Rangers game. And during the first period, and I showed up, I got there at about 11:57. I thought to myself, where's my wallet? I can't find my wallet. So during, I don't know, somewhere in the first period, maybe the first break, the first TV timeout, I thought to myself, I can't find my wallet. So I go back into my car, and I was already in the pool at this point. So bathing suit, soaking wet. I go to the car, I rip out the golf bag, and can't find my wallet. So I start thinking to myself, I must have left it at the golf course. Maybe it fell out of my pocket. Maybe I left it in the golf cart because I was freaking out. You know, it's 11:40, got to drive 15 minutes, 12, 15 minutes, get to my buddy's house and watch the games. You know, the nerves are when you rush and you usually forget things. So I come back into the house by the pool area, and I know I don't have my wallet, so I call up the golf course, and I said, hey, guys, just want to let you know I lost a wallet. Here's my number. Please call me back if you find it. They go, no one's reported anything, but we'll call you if anything goes down. So at the end of the first intermission, I had a bunch of anxiety. Where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? I thought to myself, let me go back to the golf course, because once again, it was a 12, 15-minute ride from where I was at for the weekend or for that Saturday watch of the game compared to where the golf course was. So I go back and I get to the golf course pretty much because I'm looking around the parking lot for the wallet pretty much right when the second period starts. So I'm annoyed that I'm missing some of the game. I have to find my wallet, though. Got my license, got my credit card, had about what? $40, $50 of cash, which I didn't really care about the cash. I just wanted to make sure I didn't have to cancel all the credit cards. I have my employee ID as well. And also, I didn't want to have to go try to get a new license. So I go up to the starter, and I said, did anyone find a wallet? They go, oh, were you Gelb that called? Yeah, someone found your wallet. I don't know why they didn't call me to tell me that they found my wallet, since they took down my information earlier. They're on the sixth hole. So someone found it. They called in, boom, sixth hole. So I get on a golf cart, and that's when they called. They're on the sixth hole, and I'm not trusting the starters at this golf course. So I'm on the ninth hole, and I'm driving through, annoying people. Did you find the wallet? No. Then I go to the eighth hole. Did you find the wallet? No. I go to the tee box at the seventh hole. Did you find the wallet? The guy said no, but as the people were waiting from six to seven, as it's very close to one another, it's not like a far drive on a golf cart, someone goes, oh, no, I found your wallet. So this guy found my wallet. I said, where was it, by the way? Because I'm curious how it fell in my pocket or I lost it. It was in the back seat of the golf cart. So basically it fell out of my pocket and then rolled over to where you'll put your clubs. It was sandwiched in between where you put your clubs and then also the driver and the passenger seat of the golf cart. So I found the wallet. I offered to give the guy $20 because he didn't take anything out of my wallet. And that was very nice of him because at least he called down to the golf course, let them know that he found it, got my wallet, was all in a good mood, until I listened to the Rangers game on the radio driving back to my buddy's house, where the Rangers were 0-for-7 on the power play in the freaking game. So eventually I got to, I guess, enjoy the third period at my buddy's house. We all had a good dinner, had a fun day, a bunch of us swimming in the pool, like 3-4 of us. When I say a bunch, you got to be careful these days. It was 3-4 of us swimming in a pool. And then I ended up playing some golf on Sunday. Sunday I played at a much tougher course. I was brutal. Absolutely brutal. Had a decent tee shot to start the day. I did play well on two other holes. Other than that, it was like I never played before. So it was a rough weekend. Bad golf by yours truly. And then also losing the wallet and finding the wallet was an absolute mess. And of course, the New York Rangers didn't make me in any much of a better mood. But with that being said, I am happy that we did have a full weekend of sports with the three sports going on right now in Major League Baseball. NBA has been awesome, and the NHL has been awesome as well. So it's nice to see a full slate on a weekend where you go from, like me, watching the hockey on a Saturday, then watching the basketball at night. So very much looking forward to how this is going to continue. NHL, I feel very confident about. I feel very confident about basketball seeing a champion. Baseball, it goes in waves. One day you feel good about it. The next day you don't feel good about it. You are seeing the Phillies return to the diamond tonight. And I know that their game is already getting canceled for tomorrow. It's not because of COVID. It's because of the weather. So they're going to play a doubleheader in Philadelphia where the Yankees are going to be the home team in one game. And then they're going to be the road team in another game. And I guess you're going to see 14 innings, basically one game be 7 innings and the other game be 7 innings as well. So we'll see when the Marlins, they're supposed to resume playing Baltimore tomorrow. Like I said, you got the Phillies up against the Yankees, and that's going to take place tonight. And we're all waiting to see what happens with the Cardinals with their positive test results and the outbreak that they're having. And there was a thought maybe they could return earlier this week. Now we're hearing that it's probably going to be Friday, hopefully, against the Chicago Cubs in St. Louis. But let's start the show with a little NBA. I want to go over just general impressions so far with the league coming back. When we ended last week, I was not happy about the minutes of Zion Williamson in that first game back up against the Jazz, a game they could have won and probably should have won. They did not. Zion only plays. That was on, was that Wednesday or Thursday next? I can't even remember. But whatever that first game back was, you had the Pelicans and you had the Jazz. And that was on that Thursday, I'm pretty sure. And then you had the other game debut on the 31st. But with that being said, you had that game with Zion, and Zion only plays 15 minutes. So Zion only goes 15 minutes in the game, and it was in spurts. He didn't play the final 7 minutes and change in the fourth quarter. And I'm looking at that, and I'm usually someone that's understanding of load management and managing the minutes and all that. to only play him 15 minutes, and I get, hey, he missed 8 days while he was away because of a family emergency, then had to quarantine for another 3 to 4 days. For that guy at 20, and he's already been through this dance before this year, I actually supported the Pelicans, and I understood when he played that first game against the Spurs to go 18 minutes. I did get that when he made his debut this year back in late January, but when you're fighting for a playoff spot and you're not in, now, these are not tune-up games. Each and every game counts for the Pelicans. To only play him 15 minutes, I don't get. And I heard David Griffin talk about it, expect it to continue, and, hey, he's not going to play 35, 40 minutes. David, no one is asking you for Zion Williamson to play 35, 40 minutes. You can't put him in for the final 2-3 minutes in the fourth quarter up against the Jazz on Thursday night. You can't do that. Like, come on. We're not asking you to go 35, 40 minutes. Let the kid play 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 minutes. And the fact that they couldn't put him on the court in the final 2-3 minutes, I think they're coddling him way too much. And you know Zion wants to play. It all comes down to the medical opinion and the medical experts and the people in the front office. And Alvin Gentry is going to take the majority of the criticism, but it's really not Alvin Gentry's fault. Because like we discussed on Friday's show, yeah, maybe you could get on him for the way that he managed the minutes down the stretch. And maybe if you only get 15, you want to make sure you have 2-3 minutes in the back pocket. But you don't have many minutes to work with. And if the goal is to get him back into a rhythm, you know, you're going to start the game, play him for 2 minutes, then play him for 4 minutes. Up, you're already at six. Run him out there for another 4 or 5 minutes and then wait until late in the fourth quarter. You can't do that. So they gotta really let loose on Zion here and actually let him play. Let him go 18, 19, 20 minutes. And I saw over the weekend and I know they have a game tonight. We'll see how many games, how many minutes he does play tonight. And that game's going to tip off at 6:30. But the other night, and hey, they got blown out by the Clippers. It wasn't even close. But he only went, 14 minutes? So, all right, you want to manage minutes because he's getting blown out, 14 minutes, all right, that's fine. But in games that matter, you got to let him play a little bit more. And this, I'll sound like a broken record player out of the gate. This is not us asking to go from 15 to 30 minutes. You got to give him at least a little wiggle room of 4 or 5 extra minutes and make it a light 15-minute cap. So if you are in a game that you're trying to pull out, you have one of your better players on the court. So we'll see how many minutes when the Pelicans and the Grizzlies do play tonight, that out of the 40 minutes, how many minutes Zion Williamson will play. That game's going to tip off in about 15 minutes or so at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. So that's one of the reactions. It's the way that the league has bent over for Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. They're trying everything in their power to get him in the postseason, and now he's barely playing. And we've barely seen him on the court. And I get, hey, it's unfortunate with whatever happened with this family that he had to leave. I don't see, though, with him only playing 19 games this year, already has gone through the injury stuff, now healthy, why he can't play a few extra more minutes. And you see now these races for the 8th seed, and you got to be within 4 games if you want to go through this playing game between the 8 and the 9. After 1 week, we still have the Grizzlies or a few games, because it started back up on Thursday, approaching 1 week. We have the Grizzlies still in the 8th spot. The Spurs jump up to 9. Trailblazers at the 10 spot, and the Pelicans at the 11. And they're tied up with the Kings and the Suns, all at 28 and 38. Excuse me, the Suns are actually a half game back of the Kings and the Pelicans because they're at 28 and 39. So I'll have to wait and see who gets into that 8th spot. I would not be optimistic if I was a Pelicans fan, because they're barely playing Zion. Maybe this is the last night where they have him on a minutes restriction, but who knows? And you now look at this field. You see the Grizzlies, the Spurs, the Trailblazers, and I guess you'll still keep in the Pelicans and the Kings and the Suns because it's just started up. But really, I've been looking at this kind of as 3 teams. So with the way the standings read right now, and with the Trailblazers being the 10th at 30th, you don't feel good about the Pelicans, the Kings, or the Suns all at 28 wins. So it looks like this is going to be a race right now between the Grizzlies, the Spurs, and the Portland Trailblazers for that final A spot. And then in the East, it's like, who cares? I know the Magic, you know, you watch a little Markelle Fultz. Unfortunately, Jonathan Isaac did get a torn ACL, and he's now going to be out for the restart. which is a damn shame. They bump up to the seventh, the Nets. Oh, how about this? The Nets play the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow. And we already know that it's tough to try to figure out four or five Nets players with all these injuries. I did read for this game tomorrow, Nets and Bucks, Caris LeVert is out because of a thigh contusion. Joe Harris is out because of a hamstring and back tightness. And Jared Allen's going to miss the game for what they're saying is unusual circumstances. So all three of those players, if I ask you to name some Nets players right now, you're probably able to name LeVert, Harris, and Allen. None of those guys are going to be playing up against the Bucks tomorrow. I don't even know what the line is. What is it? Too crazy to say Bucks by 25? Maybe it is Bucks by 25, especially with the Bucks coming off a loss to the Houston Rockets last night. So that game tomorrow, I think it's around 132. It's going to be an absolute massacre, and we'll see how many minutes, talking about minutes restrictions, how many minutes the Bucks do put some of their better players on the court, where you could probably show up with some G League players and probably beat the Nets coming up tomorrow with the lack of players that they have on the roster. So that's pretty much what I'm looking at. You got Zion, you got the chase for the eighth seed, and then you get into some of the bigger teams, and we know, in my opinion, this is a race with three teams that I think have a shot to get to a championship in the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks. And through these eight games, we're going to try to talk ourselves up to one of these teams, whether it's Toronto, who, let's be real, Toronto, I think it's an absolute shame. And we'll chat about this earlier, but the coaches voted in the NBA, and they had Nick Nurse as third for coach of the year, or I guess you could say, you know, second or third, depending on what you want, as Budenholzer and then Billy Donovan were co-coaches of the year. And it's not the official coaches of the year, but that's the poll that was released was voted on by the 30 coaches in the league. And the Raptors have been incredible. They really have been. To see what they've been able to do this year after losing Kawhi Leonard, and you see the development of Pascal Siakam, you see what Van Vliet has done, and they won today. They did defeat the Miami Heat. And you also have Kyle Lowry. That team is a fun team. We saw how good they were last year, even in times when they were out 20-22 games where Kawhi Leonard was out. This team, they start off the bubble with life back in the NBA, and they get a few victories out of the gate where they defeat the Jazz. And, they also did go out there and they had victories up against the Lakers, and they also defeated the Heat today. This team, with what we're seeing out of them so far, they're so fun. And it's kind of crazy. We talk about three teams that have a chance to win a championship. You look at the records, the Raptors are second in the East, and the Raptors are third overall in best record in the NBA. So keep on throwing bouquets to the Toronto Raptors, and they did defeat the Lakers over the weekend. And you start to wonder, and now people start to wonder, and you do these games all the time in the NBA, which I think it's ridiculous. When you have one of the more dominant teams, you start to wonder and you start to question, are the Lakers in trouble? And I don't see how the Lakers are in trouble whatsoever. Excuse me, the Jazz game, I got caught up in the schedule. They've only had two victories since the restart. The Jazz and the Raptors was right before the shutdown. But this Raptors team, they start out 2-0 in the bubble, and they've had a lot of success. So I definitely want to give them credit. And they defeated the Lakers, and then they defeat the Heat today. So you get into this, and you start to look at that performance up against the Lakers, and now people are questioning the Lakers, where right when this started on Thursday, it was, oh my God, look at the Lakers, look what they did defeating the Clippers, and LeBron didn't even play his best offensive game. LeBron added 20 points over the weekend up against Toronto. You have Anthony Davis. He goes from getting, 34, 35 points up against the Clippers, and then only gets 14 points up against the Lakers. There are some depth concerns with the Lakers. No Rondo right now. Avery Bradley is out of the restart. You need to see guys like Danny Green, who had 0 points in that game up against his former team in the Toronto Raptors, really start stepping up. Kuzma gives you 16. You need to see a little bit more consistency out of him. But overall, after two games, for me to be concerned about the Lakers, I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying it whatsoever. We know what LeBron is when LeBron gets to the postseason. Let's just see what this team does once they get into the playoffs. I said before that I expect them to win the championship. I will still stick to that. But we keep on looking when you go around the league and when you see teams play in these eight games, there's going to be a team that you're going to put a lot of stock in when the playoffs actually do start up, when we've been through this rodeo of these eight games, and there's going to be that other team that you like. Could it be Toronto? Philadelphia, I don't love them, but they have some star power, and they oh, this was crazy over the weekend, the 53 points scored by T.J. Warren. You know, could it be Miami? Probably not for me. Could it be Boston? Potentially. But in the West, the team so far through these first two games that have really impressed have been the Houston Rockets. Now, they got that game into overtime up against the Mavericks. Looked like they weren't going to win it. They get it into overtime, then they run the Mavericks off the court. So very nice job by the Rockets. And then you get a victory last night up against the Bucks, where the Bucks could not hit a three-point shot to save their lives. So that's where we currently sit right now in the NBA. You know, give me your biggest impressions with this restart, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Is it the minutes of Zion and the lack of minutes that we've seen on the court? How impressed are you with the Houston Rockets? And I'll say what the Rockets have done the last two games. Nice to start off 2-0. But it is tough for me to buy stock in the Rockets just knowing what James Harden is from the regular season to the postseason. So if the Rockets, hey, if they go 8-0, you'll be like, wow, holy smokes. If they go 7-1 or 6-2, you'll say, holy smokes. Will that translate, though, into the postseason? And teams can get hot in Orlando. They can get hot in this bubble. So I guess anything is on the table. Is there any concern about the Lakers? All that is on the table in the first hour. Give me your biggest impressions, things that you've seen in a positive way, things that you've seen in a negative way with the last few days of the NBA that did get underway on Thursday. We'll break here when we come on back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Another NFL coach has the coronavirus, and the Saints are doing something very interesting, and could we see something grow from this? We'll talk about that in 5 minutes on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Three games so far today in the NBA. Pacers defeat the Washington Wizards 111-100. T.J. Warren had 53 up against the Sixers. He answers back against the Wizards with 34. So a nice job by T.J. Warren. His first two games inside the bubble for the Indiana Pacers. I'll tell you, we talk about some of the coaches of the year candidates. Nate McMillan has done a really good job without having Oladipo for most of the season to be able to get what he's been able to get from that team. He's done a nice job this year, McMillan. I think one of the more underrated coaches in the league. Toronto, 107-103 today over Miami. I know Siakam did not play great, even in a victory up against the Lakers over the weekend. But Siakam goes for 22 points today in 36 minutes, 4 of 7 from behind the arc. The big standout superstar in this game, though, Fred VanVleet. He made 7 threes, was 13 of 13 from the charity stripe, 36 points from the sharp shooter out of Wichita State. Very nice job by Fred VanVleet today as they did defeat the Miami Heat. And then currently right now, and I know I said in the open that I thought Nick Nurse should have won the Coach of the Year voted by the NBA coaches. As that's not the main Coach of the Year, but this is just the one by the National, Coaches Association, whatever the exact wording is. It's irrelevant, but the coaches that voted on this. You have OKC and the Nuggets right now. It's a good game. Under 2 minutes to go, you had a 146 to go. OKC 103, Denver 102. Donovan's done a really special job this year, Billy Donovan. Think about it. They lose Russell Westbrook. They lose Paul George. You get CP3, who you're wondering how all in he would be. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's done a nice job for them, too. So has Danilo Gallinari. That team, it's now a two-point game, 104-102. But Chris Paul right now has 22 points, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has 20. So a nice job by the Thunder right now, and we'll see if they can hold on. Michael Porter Jr., how about this? Michael Porter Jr. in 37 minutes currently has 35 points. So that's a nice job by Michael Porter. Joel Ball got into the game only 4 minutes and did register 3 points. Let me get to Nikola Jokic. Jokic has 19 points in 33 minutes. I don't think Murray is playing in this game today. I do think Murray is out. But that's what you got currently right now between the Nuggets and the Thunder. So we'll keep you updated on the hoops. You got some games tonight coming up right about the tip in Orlando. Memphis and New Orleans. You got San Antonio. Pop going up against Brett Brown and his Philadelphia 76ers. And you got a fun game tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. You get to see the Lakers and the Jazz as the Lakers have split to have the NBA season continue. You did get a victory up against the Clippers, and then after one loss where they did lose to the Toronto Raptors, one of the better teams in the league, now everyone, or a lot of people I've been seeing having the take over the last 24, 48 hours, should we question and should we maybe say and wonder about the Lakers if they're actually going to win it all this year? Stu, now you're Mr. Laker. That's got to drive you crazy after one loss to a very talented team, a team that has the third best record in the league in Toronto, that everyone is jumping ship on the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy considering like they've had losses like this all year. This isn't the first time they've lost a game. Like I can't get on them for that.
Yeah, neither can I. So I would expect the Lakers. See, I would expect the Lakers to win big tonight against the Jazz, and I know the Jazz have a talented basketball team. You just never know where the motivation and where the drive is in these first eight games. Now, I don't know if that's an issue with the Lakers, because in game one up against the Clippers, LeBron, you could tell he was doing everything in his power to win. I'm not saying that they dogged it in game two. You never know, though, from game to game, where most of these games mean nothing for these teams in the NBA restart, if the Lakers have a little extra chip on their shoulder tonight and use some of this outside noise that's being created right now as a little extra motivation. I don't expect there to be much to it, but I would expect the Lakers to win the game tonight. All right, before we get an update in, I do want to get to this. So Doug Peterson, we found out yesterday, did test positive for the coronavirus. He now becomes the second NFL coach since this pandemic did commence to have test positive for the coronavirus. Sean Payton was the first. And now we know Dougie P has the coronavirus. Here's the Eagles coach, Doug Peterson, announcing he's symptom-free and feeling fine while he's currently at home.
I know this virus affects people differently, and I'm very respectful and mindful of that. And I also want everybody to know that I feel great. Energy level's high. Had really no symptoms whatsoever. And I'm very fortunate.
So when you hear that NFL coach got it, and he could have got it from multiple ways, you start to wonder, well, are the Eagles doing everything in their power to keep the facility safe? Here's Doug Peterson saying he's still confident with all the steps the organization is taking.
I'm very comfortable and confident that the protocols that we have in place at NovaCare are for their, you know, for the best interest of the football team and all those you know that enter that building and it still is a very safe environment and one of the things that you know we all need to learn and what I need to learn taken away from this is obviously we need to protect ourselves when we're in the community away from the building.
And then finally, let's hear one more from Dougie P. This is Doug saying that he's going to still coach virtually in this process. However, at the facility, Deuce Staley, the former NFL running back, been on the Eagles staff for a while, is going to take over the in-person operations.
I do everything I can virtually. You know, I just finished up a bunch of player meetings, you know, group meetings this morning already. Guys are getting ready for a walkthrough on the field. And yeah, Deuce being the assistant head coach, he just assumes my role. You know, the day-to-day activities in the building.
So when you hear this about Doug, it's not surprising. Whenever someone tests positive now for the coronavirus with how used we are to this in the last few months, it's not surprising. But whenever it happens to someone that's pretty prominent in the sports world, and Doug Peterson is a Super Bowl-winning head coach, he's one of 32 people in the world to be an NFL head coach, you think to yourself, well, what can the NFL do to put themselves in a better situation? And we see what's currently ongoing with hockey having a lot of success, basketball having a lot of success, being in a bubble. Baseball is not in the bubble, and we've had issues with the Marlins, the Cardinals as well. And we don't know, and we don't have a lot of great confidence that baseball is going to be able to finish their season. Now, we've seen teams miss a week, and now they're going to be making their return tonight or tomorrow. So it's an ongoing issue in Major League Baseball, and it kind of seems as if they're making it up on the fly because it's really now in a time of unprecedented time. So when we get to football and people bring up the idea of a football bubble, I don't think logistically, unless if it's the last resort and you got to figure it out, and that takes a lot of planning, and we're already sitting here on the third day of August, I don't think we're going to see a bubble in the National Football League. But I was reading today something that it would kind of be like a mixture of a bubble that could work. I was reading this on ESPN, and they said that the New Orleans Saints actually rented out floors of the Lowe's Hotel in downtown New Orleans to create an optional bubble-like atmosphere for players and staff members who choose to stay there during the next month of training camp. Sean Payton actually told NBC Sports it's not a bubble, it's a sequester, saying that staying in the hotel is obviously optional, they've said. But Payton estimated that about 150 people will stay there among the total of 180 players, coaches, and executives, plus medical, cafeteria, security, and support staff. And the owner of the Saints, Gail Benson, was willing to pay the hefty cost to help eliminate some health risks. Now, a few things with this. Number one, they only rented four floors. So are other people staying in the hotel? That's a thought. And I did read that The Athletic previously reported that Benson was prepared to rent out an entire hotel for all of training camp. But the report from The Athletic was that the plan failed to meet NFL protocols and that some players balked at the idea of being sequestered for so long. So you wonder with how many people get into the hotel, you know, what type of, you know, how safe of an environment are you actually in? That's thought number one. But when we want to get to a bigger thinking point of topic, and we know that a bubble's not going to happen for this NFL season, should each team, and this is something I gave some thought, should each team to try to eliminate some of the risk of the outside world, and yes, you're still going to have to travel to other cities, and you're going to still have to play at your home stadium, should each team go into a hotel where you live there from now, September, October, November, December, and whenever your season ends? Should teams put their players and their entire operation, anyone essential to the operation of football for this year, in a hotel? So if you're the Saints, you rent up the entire hotel, you provide the proper testing for not only your guys, but also for the hotel workers, in addition to the bus drivers, your pilots as well, that have to fly the team and have to drive to the airport, and you have an entire bubble-like atmosphere that your players are living in from now until the end of the season. And yes, you have to go on road trips and things could happen, but to try to limit the risk, you keep people in a hotel for the entire season. I don't think that would happen. When reading this thing for the Saints and just training camp and keeping it optional, it is something that does create much intrigue in my mind, because as we're seeing in baseball, you've heard a few Marlins players did go out. You heard a few Cardinals players did go out. We could have sports work outside of a bubble. Yes, people are going to test positive. We know that eventually. It's always, though, one, two, three, four, five players that aren't listening like the other players, and they go out when it's unnecessary, and then that's how the virus can get into your football team and then obviously spread. So would the NFL players be willing, just for the regular season and, you know, training camp too, for the entire season, let's put it that way, stay in a bubble of in your home city, you stay in a bubble and you're in a hotel and you only leave when you have to travel for a road trip or you have to travel to go to practice on a daily basis at your facility? Something to give a thought about. 855-212-4CBS. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, and it's brought to you by our fine friends at Geico. Did you know, when we talk about Geico, that right now, when we hear from Geico, that they're offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is The Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
At Zach Gelb on Twitter, we're asking what you've been impressed the most by in the NBA restart. Laceman4 on Twitter says, most impressive is the Raptors playing right where they left off and rolling. He's not wrong. The Raptors have done an incredible job, but this is all throughout the season. And they constantly get disrespected, and sometimes they even get disrespected by yours truly, because I still think there's only three teams that could win a title, and that's the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers. Talk about a team that may enter that conversation. Let's get to Edward Royce on Twitter, who said, it's James Harden and the Rockets playing defense and Houston winning on the defensive end once again, which is unlike them, and they're right. He's definitely right. They did a very nice job defensively up against the Bucks last night, especially the Bucks. They were like, what, 8 of 25, 7 of 26 from 3. They could not hit a three-point shot last night. So you go through this restart, there's going to be teams that you fall in love with. There's going to be teams that concern you. Until someone takes down the Bucks in the East, I'm not going to believe that a team other than the Bucks is going to be in the finals. And until someone takes down both the Lakers and the Clippers, I'm not going to buy stock in any of these Western Conference teams as well. I get the appeal with Houston. I know they're going small ball, Covington and Tucker down low, and you have Harden and also Russell Westbrook, and you say goodbye to Chris Paul, and now you got Russell Westbrook with that team. But how many years are we going to get teased by the Houston Rockets where they get so close but yet so far? So give them credit. You start off this season, you know, the second part of the season, I guess is what you call it now, with some, you know, with the nice W. There's no doubt about that, but you got to see what this team is going to do in the postseason for me before I could buy into them. And that's just the way that I feel about the Rockets. I get they had a nice victory up against the Mavs. They did a nice job getting that game into overtime. You then have them come out and play a really good game last night up against the Bucks. There's things to like. I'm not going to fall into the trap, though, of loving the Houston Rockets just based off of two games, because I've seen this story so many times with James Harden, who is a sensational player in the postseason, though. As great as he is in the regular season, his career has been overshadowed by the shortcomings, especially up against the Golden State Warriors in the postseason. So after two games, I'm not going to come on this radio station and say, hey, I was wrong. You know, let me issue the mea culpa. Let me apologize and say that the Houston Rockets are title contenders. Nuh-uh. Not going to happen from me. I need to see them in a big-time series up against either the Lakers or the Clippers get the job done. Now, don't come to me after, you know, an opening round victory against the Nuggets or the Jazz or the Thunder. I don't want to hear that nonsense. Let's see Harden step up, deliver, and finish against the Clippers and the Lakers four times in a seven-game series before you even want me to consider for a single second me buying in and admitting, you know, myself to myself and to you that I'm wrong on the Houston Rockets. All right, we'll get back to the hoops. We'll get to some football in the next hour as well. Let me give you a little baseball update, though. The Marlins, back-to-back days, no new positive tests. Very good. Philadelphia Phillies, four straight days of negative test results. Very good as well. The Phillies are going to resume tonight. I want to say it's Gerrit Cole up against Jake Arrieta. And that game, I believe, is going to be in New York. And then they're going to go to Philadelphia on Wednesday, because the game Tuesday, because of this tropical storm that's coming, is going to get washed out. So they're going to play a doubleheader on Wednesday, and then I also think have one more game on Thursday as well. So we're going to see the Phillies step on the field tonight. Nice present. You get Gerrit Cole and a red-hot Aaron Judge, but the Phillies have not played since last Sunday The Phillies have not played since the 26th up against that series on the Braves. So they will make their triumphant return to the baseball diamond tonight. For the Marlins, they are expected to resume the season tomorrow up against the Baltimore Orioles. And we'll wait to see what happens with the Cardinals. As I was reading today, you know, with this outbreak that you kept on hearing about with the Cardinals, and they were supposed to play last week up against the Milwaukee Brewers. You already heard that Lorenzo Cain did opt out this season, as that was a big name to opt out. You also had Yoenis Cespedes, which we'll get to him later on in the show. But we have not seen the Cardinals in a bit. The Cardinals, as we know by now, have 13 members of the organization test positive for COVID-19 just in the last week, and that includes 7 players and 6 staff members. The league released a statement today, and they said that the Cardinals, which have been in quarantine since Thursday, will stay in Milwaukee. So they're still in Milwaukee, and their personnel will continue to be tested daily. The tentative plan for right now, and as we know, the plan can obviously change in a second, as it is a tentative plan, is for the team to resume its regular season schedule on Friday against the Chicago Cubs in St. Louis. I know this baseball season is bizarre, and it's going to be really pretty much surviving day by day, and we don't know when or if they're going to pull the plug. But when I just look at the baseball standings, it's odd to me, you know, knowing what we know. You see a Braves team 7-3, you see the Nationals 3-4, and they missed a few games to the Nationals. They were supposed to play a 3-game series this past weekend in Miami, and that got canceled. You see the Mets, my lousy Mets, 3-7, and then you see teams in that division, the Marlins 2-1 in second place, and then you see the Philadelphia Phillies still in front of the Mets in the standings. And they actually have a game and a half lead up against the Mets. Phillies 1-2 and the Mets 3-7. So teams are going to have to, and they're not going to play all the games. You know, we'll see how many they make up. Yeah, the same thing in the Central. Cubs 7-2, Brewers 3-3. They missed some games because of the series at the Cardinals that didn't happen. You got the Reds at 4-5, the Cardinals 2-3, and the Pirates 2-7. So it's going to be baseball season where we're hoping to get as many games as possible. The goal 60, will we get there? I don't know. Will we get to see 8 postseason teams in the NL, 8 postseason teams in the AL? I don't know, but we've already seen some outbreaks, and those obviously happen in Miami. You saw a staff member in the clubhouse and also coaching staff for Philadelphia test positive. And then, obviously, the latest with the St. Louis Cardinals. So how many more teams are going to have an outbreak before baseball goes, guys, this is just not going to work. And you had the whole issue on Friday of Manfred stepping in and saying maybe the season could end as soon as Monday from some of the sources in the report. But clearly, that's not the case right now. We talk Odell Beckham next. Is he in or is he out for the season?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.